Happy summer, everyone. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, a summer edition of your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you. We just got through with the Independence Day weekend, and I guess, you know, it's been a while, Phil, so we might as well talk a little Marquette basketball. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a nice little offseason so far, but apparently we got to get back into the swing of things and, you know, talk about Marquette.
Obviously, you guys, we called for your scrambled questions on Twitter and the message boards and whatnot, so we appreciate you sending those in. We'll get to those in just a minute, but I do want to start by saying tonight's podcast is brought to you by Marquette Salaries in the NBA.
Well, some not people really, getting paid.
I not really, but I wish it was. Like, gosh, some Marquette guys in the NBA, because you haven't seen it. Jimmy Butler, $95 million contract. Jay Crowder. Love Jay Crowder, but boy, I did not think he would get $35 million over 5 years. That's great for Jay. Wes Matthews, he's coming to DFW. He's in the $50, $52, $54 million range. And Dwayne Wade,
low man on the totem pole.
Yeah, the total value of his contract, the smallest, at $20 million. He's, you know, taking a one-year gamble on himself. I hope it works out for him. But a lot of money being thrown at Marquette alums so far this offseason, so that's good to see.
It's got to be, you know, if I'm... If I'm Wojo, anytime a recruit comes in, I just leave a spreadsheet with all the Marquette alumni that are getting paid open on the desktop and see if the recruits notice, because that's some serious cash.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation for Wojo in that he didn't coach or recruit any of those guys, but you know, he's obviously touting the program and the Marquette image, and it's great. He's one of the first guys on Twitter every time one of them signs a deal. Wojo's out there. Congratulations, Marquette Pride, Jimmy Butler, Jay Crowder, whoever it is. So I like the way Wojo is doing a great job as far as always reaching out to the names of the past and trying to promote the program that way.
Yeah, so, and he's big on that. He had a whole bunch of former players at the Marquette barbecue that just happened at the end of June. He had a whole bunch of basketball alumni back. So he's keeping the, you know, I think that's key, because if you look at it, the players are kind of what build the program, and maintaining that tradition, I think, is going to be critical for the program going forward.
Yeah, so four Marquette players with new deals. Steve Novak, for now, is still with the Thunder, although from what I see, he's probably going to be trade bait. Thunder trying to clear some salary there, so I don't know what's going to happen with Novak. Hopefully he's on a roster somewhere next year and can get a little playing time. And then there's some other, you know, smaller guys out there who are trying to catch on with teams. Dwight Bikes, I guess, was in negotiations with the Lakers for coming back. Jamil Wilson is playing in the summer league. Trent Lockett is playing in the summer league. So, and of course, Vander Blue's out there somewhere trying to catch on as well. So we'll see if there are any more Marquette alums get on NBA rosters.
And Jarrell McNeil's still out there hunting around.
Yeah, that's right.
Well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, McNeil caught on late last year with the Suns, was it?
Yeah, with the Suns. Yeah, yeah. And then DJO replaced Dwight Bikes when Dwight Bikes got hurt, didn't he? Or was it the other way around?
Well, it was DJO, and then Bikes got hurt, and then they signed Vander Blue for two games, the Lakers did. So, yeah, a lot of guys with the cup cough in the NBA last year. We'll see if any others come up as the rest of the summer goes along. We're going to hit a few more news and notes before we get on to your scramble questions, which were pretty good, so we're looking forward to going through those. A little bit of angst in the Milwaukee area over this arena deal, Phil. You're closer to it than I am. I mean, I just kind of loosely follow it on Twitter. And from far away, from my perspective, seems like the longer it drags out, the more nervous I get about whether something's going to get done. I'm hoping they're going to get this new arena done for the Bucks, which, of course, that has implications for Marquette and where they're going to be playing their future games. What kind of read are you getting on the Milwaukee arena situation?
Well, this is the problem for those of you who don't like politics. This is the problem when politics get involved in stuff. I mean, it's really right now. I guess, you know, I don't want to sound like Kevin Bacon in Animal House and just shouting at the mob that all is well. But I think some of the angst is perhaps a little overdone. I think a lot of this is politicians being politicians and kind of positioning themselves to look like they're, you know, being tough for their constituents and trying to get deals and leverage. I mean, one of the things that was out there was some of the, Again, I don't want to get political into parties and whatnot, but there's Democratic senators in the city of Milwaukee who presumably you would think they'd want to vote for it, since most of the money would generated by this would go towards their areas. And then you've got the outlying rest of the state, which is predominantly Republican. So if you followed the news at all, those two groups are pretty much against each other these days. So there's a lot of posturing and, talks of, well, the city Democrats are looking for a trade, and it's kind of one of those things. What are they possibly going to, what would anyone give them to get their vote for the arena? So it's, there's a lot of news out there like, oh, they want this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, that's not going to actually happen, because there is no way a city of Milwaukee politician could ever be, in a position where they're the deciding vote that kills the arena deal. So again, I think it's a lot of people speculating and whether it's going to happen or not, but I suspect the votes are there and it's going to happen. It's just a question of whether we have it drawn out this week or if it goes into next week.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm a little far away from it, but I don't want to make this into a political podcast, because obviously we're just here to talk Marquette basketball. But obviously there are implications for Marquette as far as whether or not that arena gets done, because the nicer the arena that Marquette plays in, the better it is for recruiting, better experience it is for fans, the more fun it is for the coaches and players going to these games and putting on shows for us. So hopefully it all works out. Obviously, without getting into the political side of it, just as a fan, of course I want to see it built. Then again, it's not my money. I live in Texas, but I hope something gets done there in the state of Milwaukee, or state of Wisconsin, the city of Milwaukee. Boy, it is way too early for me to keep drinking, but.
Maybe we can take up a collection plate amongst all the Marquette alumni to get the whatever the state doesn't want to cover covered.
Yeah, well, some of these Marquette guys did sign new deals. If they want to throw a little scratch their way, wouldn't hate it. Wouldn't hate it. So I guess that's it as far as news and notes.
Well,
Marquette.
we do have a commit from
Oh, that's
the
right.
after our last pod, like minutes after our last pod.
Yeah, like immediately after we posted our last pod, Sam Hauser did commit. Of course, he's a prospect there, right there in the state of Wisconsin. So he's like the top, I guess he's the top recruit in the state for 2016. Looks what about a 6'6" swingman,
Yep.
good shooter,
Very good shooter.
developing, maybe kind of low on the radar as far as some national recruit scouts are concerned, but he did get a big boost in the latest ESPN rankings. He's now in the top 50, so I think, who knows, maybe Wojo signing him or getting a verbal from him, I should say, maybe caused somebody to look at him a little harder and figure out exactly who he is. Everyone who has seen Sam Hauser play, when I'm reading, guys who cover recruiting there in the state of Wisconsin, appear to be very, very high on him, and it's not like they're biased and, oh, we're just going to promote guys in this state. They seem to really like him, seem like he's a good fit for what Wojo wants on the roster.
Well, and it's too early to tell, but he has the potential to be the number one student or number one player in the state again this year. So that would be 3 or 4 years in a row, assuming his commitment holds and he does turn into the best player in the state. That would be 3 or 4 years in a row that Marquette has brought in the top player in the state. And these aren't, nothing names. These are very good, talented players. So that's, it's good to see Wojo holding serve locally, even though he's a Duke guy. If he can hold serve with all the talent in state and then kind of use his national coverage to fill out the rest of the talent, it's a very significant positive for the program.
Yeah, if
going
I mean
forward.
if you keep getting the best guy in the state of Wisconsin every year, bottom line, you're hurting your rival, which is a good thing. You can stretch those AAU pipelines into Chicago and do well there, and then you just kind of stretch your reputation nationally from there, which, Wojo does have a national reputation from his Duke days anyway, but winning at home is important. And the guys you'd mentioned, winning the top player in the state every year, you start with Cohen, and then you're maybe splitting hairs between Ellenson and Diamond Stone. Bottom line, you got a home run either way. But you got Ellenson, who, I guess by most rankings, was slightly ahead of Diamond Stone, but again, you're splitting hairs there. And then right now, it looks like Hauser's going to be the top guy in Wisconsin in 2016. So doing well. Hopefully that continues as goes forward here. And he's on several other guys in the state of Wisconsin as well. Look, if you look at who he's going after 2016, 2017, and 2018. So
yeah, and he's going the brother route again. Hauser's brother was in visit and got an offer from Marquette. So
yeah, Joey Hauser, and he's really young. I mean, I think he's what, 2018, 2019.
So yeah, I think he's 2018. I think he's freshman.
He's way down the road, but still good that he's interested. So
yes.
Good to have him interested.
It doesn't hurt to start cultivating them early.
Yeah, you know, even if you get a really early verbal, at least you're on him before everyone else is, and then you know, see if it works out later. Kind of like that Philip Flory kid who was verbally committed for a while there, and he's still he's still out there. I think he's what, 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
So we can still figure out what's going to happen with him. But again, Wojo doing well in recruiting, and it looks like the roster is set for next year. They've kind of they published a new roster. There's going to be three walk-ons on it in addition to all the guys signed for next year, so it doesn't look like there's going to be any grad transfers coming in. So looks like the roster that you will see now on gomarquette.com, that's the roster that's going to be going to Italy and likely going into the season this fall and winter. So
unless we break it on the podcast,
we'll touch on that later. But I guess now it is time to get to the scrambled questions and get to the questions you guys have sent us on.
Well, before we get to their questions, I have a question for you, Joe.
Okay.
All right. Bo Ryan, is he a vampire like Grinch, or is he a Grinchy vampire?
Yes. I would say he's a Grinchy vampire, but you know, maybe the one thing people on this podcast hate listening to more than politics would be Bo Ryan. But I feel we'd be remiss if we didn't at least touch on that. Of course, you all know by now, Bo Ryan announced his retirement from the University of Wisconsin. He's going to coach this coming season and then step away from the Badgers. He'd like his top assistant to be promoted, but that has not yet been confirmed by King Barry over there at UW, so we'll see what they do there. I'm not going to talk about the Badgers, Phil, but you know, just briefly, you know, with Bo Ryan stepping away from Wisconsin, effects on Marquette.
Effects on Marquette. I mean, Greg Gard is, I guess, known. If he's the direction they go, you know, it gives Marquette a better edge within Wisconsin than they already had. But it didn't seem like it was that big a deal because Marquette was getting the players it wanted, and Wisconsin was kind of getting the players they wanted. So, I mean, they're not really recruiting the same players, mm-hmm. especially if they stay within the kind of the Bo Ryan style. So his retirement, it just really removes an annoyance from our lives. That's probably about the...
I am glad he's going to coach one more year, because I would like to beat him once.
Yes.
Before he steps away. Get Wojo one win against Bo before he steps down.
And the prevailing theory is that he's sticking around for an extra year. So, you know, the team may not be that great this coming season, and so he can kind of take the lumps. And if Greg Gard is the permanent coach, then he can kind of start fresh, if you will, next season when theoretically they'll have more talent on the team and a better ability. But, you know, so it'll be an interesting contest in Madison this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll say this. You know, obviously, to be a perfect line, I respect Bo Ryan. Great head coach, has done an amazing job, 2 Final Fours, hats off to him, but not going to miss him.
not at all.
No tears shed over here when he announced his retirement. Done a great job. Hope Marquette can get a win against him before he steps away, and then, you know, see you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. But now let's seriously get to your scrambled questions. Everything you sent to us on Twitter, message boards, Facebook, wherever you decided to reach out to us. Appreciate you guys all reaching out and sending us your questions. We're going to start the first one, actually first ones, because we actually got a lot of questions about the lineup. And I'm going to try to group a lot of these in together, because basically the answers to these questions kind of all run together. We got, you know, what's the lineup projection? Who's going to start? Who's coming off the bench? Do you like Tracy Carter or Dwayne Wilson at the point? And I'm going to kind of group all these in together as like what we think the lineup is going to be, you know, when the season begins in November, Phil. And I'd say probably the safe things are that Luke Fisher, Henry Ellenson, and Dwayne Wilson are going to start. Now the question is, will Dwayne Wilson be starting at the 1 or the 2? And who's going to be starting at the 3? And then we can kind of talk about the bench from there. I'm going to start at that guard spot. I guess it pretty much looks like the point guard spot sounds like is Tracy Carter's to lose, mainly because he is the most pure point guard on the roster, even though he's very inexperienced. But from what you know, read from what people are saying on Twitter and you know the local reporters and what you know players tweet about how practices are going and coaches, it sounds like Carter has impressed. So I would almost move Tracy Carter close to, but not quite at lock status as a starter for this fall. In my
opinion. Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think about it, you know Dwayne Wilson was kind of advertised as a combo or a 1-2, but last year was clearly a transitional year with the kind of performance we had, and Dwayne Wilson played almost no point guard. And you would think with that kind of transition going on, if they were projecting Dwayne Wilson to be a starter or a heavy minute at the on ball spot, they would have gotten him some minutes there last season. So I suspect that I would be willing, in fact, to project that Tracy Carter plays the one and Dwayne Wilson plays the two. I think Dwayne Wilson's just better off ball. And you know what? There's a lot of youth on the team. There's no getting around it. You're not going to manage. You know, we're bringing back maybe 33% of the minutes we had, 40% of the minutes we had last year. There's no way you're going to manage with, quote-unquote, veterans on this lineup. So just throw the young guns out there and right away and see what they can do, because that's the only way you're going to be ultimately successful with this season.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Carter being a freshman, even no matter how good he is, he's not going to be playing 40 minutes a game. So
right.
When he's on the bench, Dwayne's probably going to shift over to the one. He's going to be on the floor a lot, I think, as long as he's healthy and is productive, which there's no reason to think he won't be productive. And so it's a matter of, okay, so then that's when you get guys like Juwan Johnson into the lineup and see how much he plays. He'll probably, you know, be playing over at the two. And that's kind of where the question comes in at that fifth starting spot at the three. You know, are we going to see Wojo going with three guards? Is it going to be a chance for Sandy Cohen to start? Could we possibly see Wally Ellinson starting at the three? So that, I guess that's the big question, is who's going to be that starter at the three, and that kind of will from there determine what the rotation looks like behind all these other guys.
Well, I think the projected starting lineup I would have is going to be Tracy Carter, Dwayne Wilson at the 1-2. And then I think Trey J, Juwan Johnson is going to get the start at the three, and then Ellinson at the four and Fisher at the five. I mean, that gives you the most veterans that, you know, most veterans at key positions with the exception of point guard, gets you some youth in there. And then perhaps what you see is when Carter's got to come out either for performance or from, you know, a rest standpoint, Dwayne shifts down to the one, Juwan Johnson shifts to the two. And I do think we'll see how, as long as Sandy Cohen doesn't go the John Harris route, because Sandy Cohen put on 25, 30 pounds this offseason, apparently a muscle. We saw how that worked out for John Harris back in the day. You know, I think Cohen will likely be the first one off the bench, given the
roster.
Just
to be clear, what you mean by the John Harris route? You mean like
yes.
He's not going to shoot well because he's got so much muscle, or just like
yes.
Okay,
yeah. Because
for those maybe who aren't as familiar with John Harris,
that's correct.
Starting
Joe
center.
And I grew up in the John Harris era.
Yeah,
and he was apparently a 85% free thrower in high school. Put on a ton of muscle at Marquette and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to be clear what you kind of meant by John Harris.
Yes.
You know, John, I will say John finished his career strong, no pun intended, as a power forward, and actually became a good player on that team that finally broke through and made the tournament in 2002.
Absolutely. Key cog.
But to get back to what your point was, you know, he was more of a perimeter player, and then kind of basically became much more of a front court player by the time he was done at Marquette. But yeah, you can continue your point.
Yeah, so I think Sandy Cohen is going to be the first one off the bench. Again, bringing in some experience. He's got some time. He's got some shooting. Clearly, Wojo values perimeter shooting, so I think there's going to be a lot of that. I don't think Matt Hilt sees much. What'll be the most interesting player to me, I think, will be what they do with Hanif Cheatham. I think behind Tracy Carter and Henry Ellinson, he's going to be the most intriguing. There's rumors that maybe he can play the point. He's long. He's lengthy. He's apparently got some good defense. So what they do with him will be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little different for my projection as we're here in the middle of or early July. I'm going to say I agree with the starters that the guards are going to be Carter and Dwayne, and of course Henry and Fisher are going to be starting up front. I'm going to say it's going to be Cohen at the three.
Oh, really?
I'm just going to guess. Again, I haven't seen him play yet this summer. I'm just going to say maybe he's going to be a bit more of a versatile guy who can play on the perimeter, but maybe has enough bulk that he can rebound a little bit and can bring a little versatility to that three spot. And I just like, speaking of versatility, the things that Juwan Johnson can do coming off the bench, again, in relief of Dwayne or Carter. And then I think Wally Ellington is also a guy who has some versatility coming off the bench. He can play a few positions, maybe two through four, if you need him to come off the bench. So I think look at those, maybe the guy. And then who knows what Cheatham's going to bring. Like you said, he could maybe play anything one to three.
Yeah.
Depending on how he's developing. So I'm going to go with that as a starting lineup with some guys who can do some various different things coming off the bench, depending on how the game, you know, each individual game is going.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of minutes to go around because, you know, we only have three players with any kind of minutes coming back this year. So there's going to be a lot of interchanging, I think. I suspect that Wojo runs a fair number of players out there, especially in the early season, to see what he's actually got on the roster.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll see what the schedule looks like. But you got to think there's some games that you would consider cupcake games, so to say, where he's going to maybe run out 10 or 11 guys and get a good look at everybody. And then as you get towards Big East play, that's when he tightens it up a little bit. And you see maybe the rotation take shape a little more. Maybe there's some guys who aren't playing very much, if at all, as
right.
They get towards Big East play.
So. Well, and you know, we talked very briefly about the schedule. We won't go necessarily into detail on it, but you know, we're going to have to use the non-conference, throw all the freshmen out there, and you want to win games, but you got to take the non-conference schedule and just get as much experience and know exactly what you have to kind of be ready to hit the ground running with the conference schedule. This isn't going to be something, I think, where we can kind of massage and manage our way through a decent non-conference. We gotta go all in to get players ready for conference season, because that's where we're going to make the tournament or not, is going to be the conference season, not in the non-conference.
Yeah, speaking of you know, all these guys gelling and stuff, Phil, that kind of leads us into our next scramble question, which you have for us.
Yes, which I have. So Crack Sidewalks, who's our host for this wonderful podcast, he had some Twitter questions, and we'll kind of blend two together. One was, will we be worse than last year, which kind of ties into, if we are worse or we're not worse, how patient should fans be with Wojo as we progress over the next couple of years?
Boy, that sounds like a guy standing on the ledge, doesn't he?
For the record, he's a very positive individual, and he called me out for calling him negative. But
are we going to be worse, and when should we just burn the thing to the ground? I hate everybody. Oh,
when can we lure Brad Stevens from the Celtics?
No, man. All right, look, to be honest, look, are we going to be worse? I hope not. But but if you want to take maybe take a little fanboy out of it and say maybe look at the fact, yeah, Marquette did. This is a young team, and I was about to say we lost a lot, and maybe that may be overstating. I wouldn't say Marquette necessarily lost a lot from last year's team. I mean, they lost, you know, three nice seniors who were, you know, were good kids, and Carlino was a nice shooter, but you know, talent wise, it's not irreplaceable in my opinion. With all due respect to Juan Anderson, Derek Wilson, and Matt Carlino, it's just not an irreplaceable.
And Steve Taylor.
Yeah, Steve Taylor leaving, that's true. But it's not an irreplaceable crop of talent that walked out. I mean, teams graduate seniors and lose guys to the NBA and whatever else every single year. And you would hope that a guy in Henry Ellenson, not to put it all on him, but let's be honest, there is a lot riding on the guy, who is projected to be in the NBA in one or two years, is going to make up for a lot and is going to help this team win. And you just got to, you know, there's just so many factors. I guess hope is not a strategy, as they like to say. But, boy, I am really hoping that you see improvement and development out of Dwayne Wilson, out of Luke Fisher, who had this off-season shoulder surgery. And if he's back to 100% and is maybe playing with a little less pain this year, you can hopefully expect a little more out of him. You're going to have some depth, because, you know, with Helt there, I don't know how much you would expect out of Helt as a freshman necessarily. But just to have another guy who is 6'10", backing up Fisher, so you don't have to go completely small when you don't want to, is good to have. And then you just got to hope these other guys who were, you know, top 100 or whatever, just add a little more athleticism and versatility and hopefully some scoring to a lineup that was really missing a lot. And look, when you were playing with eight strong, as we like to say, that was the rallying cry. But still, I mean, those guys were beat up and they were exhausted and they had trouble finishing games last year. And just hopefully with the depth and plus with all that, when you only have eight guys, it's tough to run a full practice. And now Wojo can run a full practice because right now he's got 13, 14 guys on the roster when you include the walk-ons.
Right.
So he's going to have a full roster, and he's not going to have to suit up to get a 5-on-5 going.
Yeah,
so,
well, and I mean, arguably, on paper, this is certainly a more talented roster this year than last year. But as you always say, games aren't played on paper. They're played in television sets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's more talent this year. Yes, there's less experience. But talent can make up for experience from time to time. Now, there'll be growing pains as a result, but there is a lot. And I do think there's something to be said for Luke Fisher coming back healthy after that shoulder surgery. I can't prove it until we see what he's able to do this year, but I really suspect he was either avoiding or trying to minimize contact in the post last year, just because the couple of times where he, you know, kind of got hacked hard on that shoulder, he really came up wincing. And I really wonder if there was, you know, that was impacting his game maybe even more than he realized. So you get a Fisher better than he was last year. You get clearly a talent in Henry Ellenson, and then some known scoring there. And there's the ingredients. You know, bottom line, you know, for the stat heads, if you're looking at a bell curve, you know, I think the bell curve's probably centered, you know, maybe a game or two over 500, you know, so that's the most likely probability. And I think we tend to have, and again, maybe I'm being a fanboy, but I think we'll probably finish above 500. And I think we have a better than 30% chance of making the tournament. You know, if I had a gun to my head, I'd say it's more likely even that we'd make the tournament than we don't. But we'll have to see when they actually get on the court and play basketball.
Gosh, I hope so.
I'm positive Wojo, about this season.
To quote Wojo, when somebody asked him in the offseason, do you think Ellenson's going to be able to come in and score? He goes, gosh, I hope so. the team has to be better just because they have to be. And like I said, there's more talent. Yeah, there's going to be some growing going on. And for the record, that TV sets line was totally stolen from Kenny Mayne. That's the sports center thing. But I wish I was that creative to come up with that myself. But yes, I hope we'll be better. And for the impatient types on the message boards out there, please just be plenty patient with Wojo. Give him a few years to get his guys into this program, get them through the program. Henry Ellenson is going to be a nice boost. It's going to be more about what the program looks like after he's gone and how many players fill out the entire program after, you know, if he is... Henry Ellenson is as good as advertised, goes on to the NBA, and then who is left behind? Because you don't want just to have this one guy who is great for 1 year and then disappears, and then the program is just mediocre after that. I think you got to judge Wojo after 3-4 years. What, he signed a 5-year contract initially?
Yep.
So let's just give him the full 5 years.
Well,
get all upset about things.
Keep in mind, the cupboard was really, really bare. He had to do some scrambling, bring in some graduate transfers, just to get to the point where he's got three players with game experience on the roster this season. That's not of his making.
Yeah, and he had to clean up a lot. If you looked at Marquette's APR, it's, you know, because they had so many guys transfer, leave the program, he's got a little work to do there for making sure Marquette's eligible for the tournament. I mean, they would have to fall off the next year or two, continue to decline, I would have to say. But, you know, he's going to get guys in there that are hopefully going to get that APR back up to where it's a comfortable level. And Marquette's not going to be in any danger of, you know, missing the tournament because of that in the future. But, yeah, talent-wise, he's got to keep reciting. I think he's doing a heck of a job. We touched on recruiting, how well he's doing in Wisconsin. And I think he's going to keep going forward. So, again, for the impatient types out there, just let it go, man. Just be patient. It's going to be okay. I promise.
Yeah, just don't sing that Frozen song. I couldn't take it.
Don't do it. All right.
Don't.
Speaking of Henry Ellenson, that kind of leads me into our next scramble question. It's more of it's a kind of a fun one, but something that I think would be a good talking point. It comes from our man Mark Strotman, of course, one of the guys who found Paint Touches. He's off doing bigger and better things in Chicago now. But Mark asked, would you rather have 2 years of good Henry or 1 year of great Henry? So in other words, would you rather have Henry be off the charts unbelievable for 1 year, and, you know, to the point where he is a secure, sure lottery pick, like top 10, top 5 pick, or just have him be very good for 2 years. Maybe he's not quite lottery great for 2 years, but he's still very good for 2 years. You know, first round pick good. How do you feel about that, Phil?
Well, you know what? My mind's hypothetical,
but it's a fun talking point.
It's a great talking point. I think I would rather have one bird in the hand than two in the bush. And I say, I mean, there's enough talent there. Yeah, we got questions at point guard and whatnot, but I think there's enough talent there. Let's make a run this year with if Henry is lottery pick level this season and goes after this season, then there is no way this team doesn't make the tournament, and you build excitement, and then you worry about the following year afterward.
Yeah, like if I'm talking 1 year of great, like if I want to go off the charts great, like Carmelo Anthony great, like that good.
Yes.
Like if 1 year of great Henry Ellenson means we're going to the Final Four, where do I sign?
Right.
Let's do it now, and then everybody can go pro after this year for all I care. The whole team could go pro if we go to the Final Four. I wouldn't care. Yeah, but it's more about, well, you know, how many wins does that translate into for Marquette? And if 1 year of Henry being great means Marquette not only makes the tournament, but is relevant in the Big East title chase, makes a deep tournament run, that's what I want. I mean, that's what I want to see happen, as opposed to him just being kind of good and boosting the program a little bit, maybe make an NIT run or something like that, or, you know, just go in the tournament, go one and done. In the end, I want to put banners up. I want to see Big East championship banners, and I want to see Final Four banners. And so that's what I want to see. So if I have to choose 1 year of off the charts unbelievable, yeah, because that's what you're going to remember, right? You know,
right.
You know, you would a season like that is what you would be talking about for years. I mean, we're still talking about how great Dwayne Wade was, you know, in his last year at Marquette, because he was that off the charts good. So yeah, if Henry could be some level of just memorable great, yeah, that's what I would rather have, as opposed to 2 years of pretty good. All right.
Well, but I mean, but still good. One could make the argument good means, you know, maybe he goes in the NBA top 30 or top 15.
Yeah, like not that would be a bad thing.
Year.
Sure. Yeah. Plus, you know, if Henry were to return for a second year, I mean, essentially, you know, barring transfers, basically everybody would be back.
Correct.
It would be like you would go from a young and inexperienced team to a very talented team with a full year of experience under everyone. You'd have you would actually have seniors on the team, which will be nice.
Right. That'll be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, you would have leadership, and you know, everyone would pretty much be defined in their roles. We wouldn't even be probably even debating what the lineup would be, because it would be exactly what the lineup would be, whatever it is on the last game of this season. That's exactly what we're going to say the lineup's going to be in the first game of next season if everybody comes back. So,
well, I mean, and
it
the
would
parallels
be extremely exciting if Ellenson is around for 2 years, even if he's not lottery pick good that first year, because then you would be totally expecting that he would be lottery pick good in that second year.
Well, and the parallels you brought up, the Dwayne Wade in the Final Four 2003, I mean, that parallel is maybe more apt for the 2 year scenario. You know, Dwayne Wade in his first year in 2002 took the team to the tournament and had a heartbreaking loss that you, me, and several other of us may have actually witnessed in person and threatened to jump in the Mississippi River afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Against Tulsa.
Let's not bring that up.
Yeah,
let's
heartbreaker. But you know, so maybe that's what the 2 year scenario looks like. Is Henry leads?
If that's the scenario, I'll sign for that. Yeah.
So
1 year.
If that's
1 year
scenario
in the tournament and then go to the Final Four, heck yeah! Anything to get to the Final Four would be great.
Well, let's say here's the two scenarios in one very good versus two good. Let's say the really good is Henry's just unbelievable, takes us to the national championship, but then we've got a down couple of years afterwards as we fill that void, or it gets us to the tournament this year, sticks around for the next year, takes us to the Final Four this season and then goes, or gets us to the tournament but loses the first round this season, gets us to the national championship the next season.
Oh, well, then I'll take the latter for sure. You're saying Final Four 1 year and then Final Four 1 year versus a one and done
And an NFC
national title combo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Give me that for sure. Because your first scenario that you started to spell out was national title loss the first year. I was like, yeah, you sign me up for that right now. Just a run to a national title. I don't care what.
So you don't care what if it's 1, 2, 3, 17 years of Henry Ellenson. if it results in a national championship shot, that's the one you're picking.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's what everybody wants is just to see Marquette go deep in the tournament.
It's an interesting hypothetical. This is what you do in the summer when you have beers and you're at the bar.
This is time killing podcast stuff. So that was a fun question from Mark. Let's move on to one more question. Well, we got maybe a couple more. So
we have two more. One, this one comes in from the MU Scoop message board. Good, if not crazy, folks over there.
Lots of sensible people on Scoop. Lots of
them. Yeah, they're not at all irrational. So this question comes from a person by the name of Dr. Blackheart.
Sounds like a swell guy.
not at all angry, I hope. But the question is, what are the defensive and offensive changes we should expect from this team last year? And I think a lot of this comes from the fact that we all got surprised by a lot of 2-3 zone last season.
Yeah, and I'll start with that because I'm not sure what to say about the offense, to be perfectly honest with you. I will say for the defensive part, I think it's obvious. Wojo wants to go to a Duke-style man-to-man. And he just didn't have the personnel for it last year. I mean, his guys were getting exhausted. They were in foul trouble, and he just couldn't do a man-to-man last year. So he went to a zone, wasn't what he was comfortable with, wasn't something he would like to do, but he had to do it out of necessity. So I would look number one, defensively, a very similar to Duke man-to-man defense. Very rarely going to see zone unless the man-to-man is just awful again. I would say that would be the number one thing to look for next year because that's Coach K is one of those out of the Bobby Knight school of zone is the devil. He just really has never liked playing zone. Really comfortable in man-to-man, and well, you look at the rinks he's had. Who's going to argue with Coach K? So, and Wojo's from that school, of course. So I would look for a lot of man-to-man from Wojo, and that's probably the big thing he's hammering home in these summer workouts.
Yeah, I would expect a lot more man-to-man, especially, there's some options, again, depending on experience and how they actually are performed. But there's some cases where they could go really big. I mean, we've talked about it in the past, but, I mean, there is a potential scenario in where Henry Ellenson is playing the threesome. And so, they can put some length on the floor and really present some defensive nightmares for other teams. So I don't know that they play a lot of 2-3, but I could see them mixing 2-3 in. I think Wojo was impressed with how well it worked, given their personnel deficiencies. What'll be interesting, and I kind of couch my defensive response based on the offensive decision, because if the 2-3 is it'll slow teams down and you can prevent people from scoring, but I think the offense will dictate the defense in that Wojo wants to go up-tempo offense, and he wants to go athletes, and he wants to go shooters. And a 2-3 zone really doesn't lend itself to a kind of an up-tempo offense. So I think if he wants up-tempo, we're going to play a lot of man-to-man so you can kind of get the ball out in transition, get the ball out on the break, and kind of let the athletes do their job. And I also think that he's going to build the offense when we are in the half-court set. He's going to build the offense from the outside in. I think he's one of the big proponents. If you look at the stat heads, they always talk about how undervalued the three-point shot is in basketball and how critical it is to setting up the offense and kind of post offense is in the decline. I think when you look at pieces like Henry Ellenson and Sandy Cohen and Dwayne Wilson, who can step outside and stretch a defense, I think he's going to set up the three-point shot to open up the driving lanes for some of the slashers like Juwan Johnson, Tracy Carter, Dwayne Wilson, those types of folks.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see how much he draws up for Henry Ellenson and if it's going to be kind of his show or how much he's going to – how many plays he's going to run for other guys.
Who do you think dominates the ball, especially early and maybe, say, later? Do you think it's more Dwayne Wilson or
I would
Henry
think Dwayne
Ellenson?
Would probably dominate the ball a little bit more because I think he's probably going to be, even though Tracy Carter's probably going to be the point, I bet Dwayne's going to have the ball in his hands plenty. And he may not bring it up as much, but I think, you know, Dwayne's going to be ready to shoot, and he's going to have the confidence to do so. And but, you know, Henry's going to get his touches for sure. And I guess the easy thing to say, you might see kind of an even distribution between Dwayne and Henry early on. It's going to be a matter of what the other guys are able to do and if they're going to be able to post up Luke Fisher or not, and how involved he's going to be. But hopefully there's just a little bit of everybody. You know, I mean, you're going to get something different from everybody every night. But, certainly you expect Henry Ellenson to score a lot, and he has to because somebody has to.
Right.
He's got so many skills.
We need offense.
So many skills, he has to do a lot, so... Yeah, I'm expecting Dwayne Wilson to pick up exactly where he left off. He had a spectacular freshman year offensively, and I expect maybe spectacular is overstating it, but it was very, very good. And I expect Henry Ellenson to be spectacular as a freshman. So the young guys are going to be they're going to be scoring a lot because they have to. That's what I expect. I guess we got time for one more question before we wrap this thing up, and we're going to wrap up with another fun one. Come from our friend over at Anonymous Eagle, who is hilarious. Who listens to our podcast as much as anyone else. I guess it's Brewtown Andy asking the question, but he said, what news do you expect to break as a result of recording this podcast? Of course, fans of the podcast know that we do have kind of a jinx that goes with this podcast. As soon as we record it and post it, there is some kind of breaking news that kind of dates it.
Almost immediately, we reference the... in fact, I'm refreshing my Twitter feed right now just to make sure anything hasn't broken while we're recording it.
Okay, well, as you do that, but yes, as you were saying, you know, we talked about Sam Hauser visiting Marquette the last time we recorded, and sure enough, as soon as Phil hit send, Hauser committed.
Yes.
So that's what happened last time. My guess is, Phil, the breaking news that's going to happen shortly after we post this podcast is maybe some news on Marquette's non-conference schedule for 2015-2016. Anonymous Eagle did have a nice post today, kind of breaking down what we know for sure for Marquette this coming season. Definitely at Wisconsin, of course. We're going to play Iowa as part of the Gavitt games, so we got two Big Ten opponents for sure. And then we got this Legends Classic that Marquette is involved in. Don't know the home opponents, although Belmont did tweet that they were going to Marquette and then retracted it, took it down, so we don't know if we're going to be playing Belmont or not. And then, of course, the main event at the Legends Classic in Brooklyn. Marquette will get two of LSU, Arizona State, and NC State. I'm kind of sick of playing Arizona State over the last few years, but I would kind of get it if they paired us with Arizona State again, just because you got the former Duke point guards thing now that Hurley's there
right.
at Arizona State. But NC State, of course, had a nice run in the tournament last year, but of those three, I definitely want to play LSU. I want to see Marquette play LSU and see all those freshmen, including Ben Simmons, who right now, if you're doing draft projections for 2016, he is the number one guy. For 2016, he's an Australian kid. His dad played in Oklahoma high school here and college ball at the junior college in Oklahoma, then played professionally in Australia. So Ben is like, he has American parents, but he's technically an Australian citizen because he lived there up until like the last couple years. But he is a phenomenal talent. I've seen him in person a couple times. Really, really good. And I would love to see Marquette challenge LSU because they're going to be that team that has just a bunch of really young guys. Might be too young to have a really deep run in the tournament. But, Antonio Blakeney's another All-American they have. He said this week, you know, I think we're going to win the national title. You know, what else is he going to say right now? So,
right.
But I of those, I definitely want to play LSU in the Legends Classic. But maybe to answer Anonymous Eagle's question, the breaking news, maybe we see, like, a surprise team in the non-conference schedule for Marquette, which would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool. In terms of breaking news, I suspect what we'll probably see is something along the lines of a player has decommitted from another school and everyone starts going nuts, oh, he's going to go to Marquette. It's right around
well,
that.
Well, there was that kid, what was his name, Heron, who decommitted from Pitt. He's a top 20 guy.
Yes.
And he had an unofficial to Marquette. I think there's a lot of guys in the running for him. It's kind of a big name. Mustafa Heron.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm even pronouncing that correctly, but talented. I mean, highly, he's a top 20 guy. No matter where you're looking on whatever recruiting site you're looking at. So that's one guy, Marquette. But again, I think he is so far from a commitment, I'd be shocked if that's the breaking news that we jinx out of this podcast. But maybe we'll see something. Hey, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe it'll be some arena news. Or maybe we'll get really unlucky. It'll be some bad arena news.
Yeah, once again, I would like everyone to keep calm and chive on because it's the arena's going to – I feel confident that the arena's going to happen. I have no inside knowledge, but I think it's going to end up happening. Everyone just needs to let the process play out.
So you have any guesses, Phil, on what the breaking news we're going to jinx when we hit send on this podcast?
Well, I was going to say it's going to be the breaking. It's going to be the arena. I bet you will that within 24 hours there will be some sort of nearly official announcement about the arena deal.
Yeah, I'm going to say non-conference schedule. Yeah, you know, there is no indication of this happening, Phil. But if Marquette were to say add a name opponent, so as opposed to not a gimme game, if you could see maybe if it's a former Big East team or someone Marquette has played in the past in non-conference, or maybe someone Marquette has never played in the non-conference, who, if you could add anyone, dream scenario, who would you like to see Marquette start or renew a series with non-conference?
You know, the first name, just because I'm a glutton for punishment and I love taking on the big dogs, I would love to see a home and home with Kentucky.
Oh, now you're crazy. But I did say dream scenario.
You did say dream scenario. Kentucky, but in a more realistic scenario, staying within the SEC, I don't know, somebody like Florida, you know, a little different, but still.
They got a new coach there. No more Billy Donovan.
Right, okay. Right.
I would say I would like to renew a traditional rivalry and restart a series with Notre Dame. You know, I know boo Notre Dame, we hate Notre Dame, but we hate Wisconsin too, and I don't want to end that series. So I would like to see Marquette renew a series with Notre Dame.
You know, if we're renewing series, I'd much rather honestly renew Louisville than Notre Dame.
Yeah, that'd be great too. Yeah, I mean, go head down to the Yum Center, or whatever the heck they call it now.
Yeah, the Yum exclamation point center.
You know, because, you know, with Bo Ryan retiring, we've got to have some coach we, you know, really hate come to
someone that looks
center.
Partially dead. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, Patino would fit the bill. So right. Maybe we'll get that.
Right.
Maybe
Bo Ryan looks like a vampire. Patino looks like Al Pacino in Devil's Advocate.
The devil. Yeah, the devil himself.
Yes, absolutely.
They could just talk about undead things together.
Yeah, correct.
Well, on that happy note, we thank you very much for your scramble questions. It always livens up a maybe topic-less podcast in the middle of the summer, so we appreciate your questions. We might do this again before the summer is out. I definitely want to, maybe before the trip to Italy goes down, or maybe as that's going down, we might talk about, because that's coming up in August, actually, so that's coming up quicker than we think.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big deal. I mean, we've talked about it in the past, but that should give them some very very strong competition and get them some really good experience. You know, as long as they don't have a Georgetown, you know, brawl in China type scenario.
Yeah, please don't fight anyone and don't get anybody hurt. But we will get a peek and maybe get an idea of what Wojo has and, you know, maybe is what he's thinking about as far as an early lineup. Now, maybe he might try a totally different lineup in every game. You know, just to get everyone a good look. And I think there's no reason not to. It's not like those things count towards your tournament resume or anything. Just go ahead and throw everybody out there.
Well, I'll be curious to see what video, if anything, comes out. I mean, because I believe these are somewhat closed, so I don't think they can broadcast them, but I'd be curious to see if Broeker tweets out some video from the game or whatnot.
Some, like, Zapruder-like film quality to it or
yeah, exactly.
Something like that. It's like, I think that's a ball going into the hoop. I'm
yeah.
not sure.
Who was that?
Who's the shooter on the grassy knoll? Oh,
was that Tracy Carter or Henry Ellenson? I couldn't tell.
Oh, well. Well, so we'll look forward to that. Maybe we'll check in with you guys again in August. But as always, if you have feedback, you have any more questions that we didn't answer on the podcast, you can hit us up with those. Again, on Twitter at Crack Sidewalks, I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-triple-O-F 23. You can post some questions for us on cracksidewalks.com, which is where we post the podcast. We post them on Facebook. And, of course, you can follow us on iTunes. Carry us wherever you go. Phil? Enjoying the summer? Looking forward to the rest?
I am enjoying the summer. I'm looking forward to some continuing positive news to break as a result of this
yeah,
podcast.
Please, positive news. Nothing. You know, I don't care if this podcast is dated. Just, you know, something positive. That's all I care about.
Only happy stuff in the summer.
May your breaking news always be positive, and seashells and balloons, everyone.